or the countless nearby suns never allow one to fall into gloom. What you might term night is to us a brilliant display of color from a dozen nearby stars, more beautiful even than our blazing days. I noticed that Adjunct Leeson was giving me the stink eye as if he expected me to blurt out something. I avoided his stare. It was true that I wanted to suggest to Zlur that he should pack right up and head back to his shiny home planet, but I managed to hold my tongue and stand at attention. After all, I wasn't born yesterday, and the cheap chapter house alcohol had pretty much drained from my system by now. "Worse, there's nothing in the way of culture out here," Zlur continued. "Nothing like the splendor of the core systems." "We must apologize abjectly for our lack of amenities, Chief Inspector," Turov said. She was good. She even sounded like she meant it. Besides Turov and Leeson, Graves was present. The four of us had all spoken to the squids the last time we'd made contact with them on Tech World, just hours before the violent diplomatic incident in question. "So," Zlur said when he'd finished disparaging our backwater planet, "you told this renegade individual named Glide that he should leave galactic space. When he refused, you took no action. But when he attacked the Megahab at Tau Ceti, you destroyed his ship. Am I correct in these essentials?" "A masterfully condensed description of the event sequence, Your Excellency," Turov said. "I see. You realize that this places the Empire in a dangerous position. If the cephalopods decide to strike, our defensive forces are out of position." We all looked uncomfortable. "We were hoping, sir," Turov began, choosing her words with care, "that the fleet might soon be returning home again. It has been more than 2 years since—"
"No," Zlur said firmly. "The battle fleet will not return any time soon. Eventually, of course, Magwa ships will silver the skies of every cephalopod planet to cast down righteous revenge upon these barbaric invaders. But for now, you must find a way to manage on your own. Your task is to stop any incursions these creatures might attempt. As enforcers, it is your duty to police this frontier province." Turov licked her lips.
"Hegemony is aware of this requirement?"
"Naturally."
"And we've been provided with an expanded budget in order to meet your—"
"Imperator Turov," Zlur interrupted sternly. "You step beyond your station. I've already discussed such matters with your superiors, and I have no intention of discussing them with you."
"I apologize profusely, Inspector. My curiosity got the better of me. I will not ask more on this—"
"See that you don't. I'm finished with my line of questions. My person shall now be escorted to the air car on the roof."
"At once, Inspector."
It was odd watching Turov bow and scrape before a foreign dignitary. We knew that she'd always been like that, the sort that treated a superior like a god all the while crapping on her subordinates. But it was different to see her do it with an alien. Still, I had to admit, she'd handled this interview well. Zlur seemed satisfied with her answers, and I'd never been asked a direct question. That suited everyone just fine. When we reached the roof, Zlur complained bitterly that his air car wasn't waiting there to whisk him away into space. That's when I did what I'd been cautioned not to do. I opened my mouth.
"Well, sir, we don't have an infinite number of air cars to go around on Earth," I said. "Sometimes we all have to wait our turn."
Zlur shuffled his bulk around and arranged his optical organs to study me.
"What is this creature, and why is it addressing me?" he demanded.
"That's Adjunct McGill, Inspector," Turov said quickly. He's one of our lowest-level officers. He's present because you requested that all the personnel who were in contact with the cephalopods be available for questioning.
Do I infer from your statements that this being had some direct contact with the barbarians?
Well, yes.
Zlor lifted a wavering limb in my direction. Being McGill, he said, what did you say to the barbarians?
I squirmed. Everyone did. My mother always told me the best policy was honesty, but I'd never believed her. Still, I didn't see any harm in answering forthrightly on this occasion.
All I did was answer their questions, sir.
Zlor shuffled a pace closer. Then you confirm that you spoke to them directly. I wasn't told this. I thought the being called Turov did all the talking, while the rest of you were mere witnesses. Turov, tell me who is lying here. Must I request video feed and transcripts? I'd hope to avoid that level of effort.
She said, looking very uncomfortable. Sir, you must excuse me. I didn't think it was significant, but McGill here did answer at least one question from the cephalopods directly.
One question. What was it?
They asked, she began.
No, boomed Zlor. He made a slashing motion toward her with one of his limbs. I want this one to talk. The McGill creature. Speak.
Well, sir, it went like this, I said. The squids, that's what we call them here, sir, the squids asked me about the bombing of their colony world. They wanted to know exactly how it happened.
And what did you tell them?
The truth, sir. I saw the bombing with my own eyes. The Nerbs did it with 9 hellburners. Every organic structure on that planet was broken down to component molecules within an hour of the bombing. It was a glorious demonstration of imperial power. While I'd been speaking, the air car had come down and landed behind Zlor. He ignored it and stayed focused on me. All around me, the other officers were looking at one another with increasing alarm.
I want you to be very precise, McGill creature. You told the enemy that the Nerbs erased their colony?
I was unsure what the fuss was all about, but I pressed on as best I could. The other officers had white faces and gritted teeth. They didn't seem to have much faith in me.
Yes, sir, I said. That's how the bombing went, after all. Disaster, Zlor said. You've done incalculable damage.
How so, sir?
Silence.
He turned his baleful orbs on each of us in turn.
Are you all dedicated to your empire?
Of course we are,
Turov said. The others murmured in agreement. Only I didn't join in.
Draw your sidearms, Zlor ordered.
My heart rate accelerated. I'd seen this sort of thing before. I purely expected this nasty alien to order my fellow officers to gun me down. They reached for their holsters and did as he ordered, and I did the same. If they were going to fire squad me, at least I'd go down with a gun in my hand.
You will all now self-execute, Zlor commanded the group.
We all blinked in surprise. Faces tight, the officers looked at one another in confusion and disbelief.
May we ask why, Chief Inspector?
Turov asked. All the blood had drained from her face, just as it had from the faces of the others.
Because you have involved the Empire in a war we do not need. Our diplomatic corps has been working hard to convince the cephalopods that humans were directly responsible for this disaster. Only when this creature spoke did I realize you gave them damning testimony disproving our premise. You informed them that representatives of the Empire chose to destroy their colony. They'll never be satisfied with the destruction of your pathetic species now. They'll continue the war, grinding farther into our territory at a time when we can least afford the distraction.
Things suddenly clicked on in my brain as he said this. First off, I'd always wondered what had happened to the last enforcers the Galactics had appointed to the post. By all accounts, they'd disappeared. Could it be the true role of an enforcer species along the frontier was equivalent to that of a scapegoat? "But, Your Excellency," I said, not fully understanding his reasoning, "why do you want us to self-execute? Aren't you better off leaving us to defend our world as best we can and maybe damage the squids further?"
"A few humans will make no difference to the outcome. The enemy kingdom consists of 300 worlds."
"If we make no difference, why should we be executed?"
"It's the principle of the thing," Zlur said, drawing himself up taller and ruffling his limbs. "You brought this inconvenience down upon my person, and I will feel better if you're expunged. Now get on with it."
"Chief Inspector Zlur," Turov said formally, "I request that the grievance be filed."
"There will be no grievances," he roared at her. "That is for justice dispensed by Nerbs and other underlings, a galactic citizen, especially an inspector such as myself, is not bound by bureaucratic nonsense. I demand that you all self-execute. If you do not, I will order this planet erased immediately."
Shaken, we gripped our weapons with tight fingers and eyed one another. Graves moved first. Without a change in his expression, he put the muzzle of his gun under his chin.
"I live for Earth, and I die for her."
He shot himself and pitched forward on his face. Adjunct Leeson was next. He looked at me, shaking his head. He spoke through clenched teeth.
"Fuck you, McGill."
Then he shot himself and fell on top of Graves. I looked down at the two of them breathing hard. Zlur made a burbling sound. I wasn't sure if he was laughing or farting, but either way, I didn't like it.
"This pleases me," Zlur said. "Finish the process."
Turov released a hissing breath. I looked at her.
"Why do you always make these things happen, McGill?" she asked.
"It's a gift, I guess."
"Well?"
she demanded.
"Do something to fix it."
I lifted my pistol. After all, as far as I was concerned, I'd just been given an order by a high-ranking officer. Without hesitation and with a steady hand, I shot Zlur right between the orbs. He flopped and died, making more of those farting sounds and bleeding blue ichor on the rooftop.
We hope you enjoyed this free preview of Machine World, Book 4 in the Undying Mercenary series. To keep the story going, get the complete book today.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.